I love the rain. I love snow. I love ice. I love thunderstorms, hailstorms, blizzards, floods, tornadoes. I love them. It shows the power of God, to be honest with you. I don't want anybody to get hurting, but, I love to see the power of God. That man can't stop. All right, Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right, this morning we're going to talk about baptism or Baptist and what the Bible says about it. First, a couple notes. The word baptism or Baptist is not a translation. You know, a translation is when you go from one language to another, you translate into the English language so you can understand what it is. The word Baptist or baptism is a transliteration. In other words, they have picked out English letters to pronounce what it is like, in this case, the Greek language. So the Greek word is vaftizo, baptism, all right? It's the same word. So it's a transliteration, not a translation. And you do that with some of the Hebrew words in the Old Testament. Also, in the New Testament, there's transliterations in the Old and New Testament. Also, another thing before we proceed here. The word Baptist is found in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament. But as you'll, I don't know if we'll get to it this morning or not, but in Hebrews, the Bible says they were baptized into Moses in the Old Testament. So they didn't use the word Baptist in the Old Testament or baptism in the Old Testament, but they were baptized unto Moses in the Old Testament, Hebrews says. So it existed in the Old Testament, even though it's not mentioned in the Old Testament by name. Another thing before we begin here is, if you check out your average encyclopedia or dictionary, you'll see that Baptist is usually listed under Protestants. Protestants didn't start until 1500s with Martin Luther, late 1400s, early 1500s. And they said, well, the Anabaptists and the Baptists, they were a sect, or they were an offshoot off the Protestant Reformation. Well, first of all, if you know your Bible, the Bible was written, at least the New Testament, 2,000 years ago. And here we have the word Baptist. So when you read an encyclopedia or a dictionary or some man's writing that says, well, Baptist didn't start until the Protestant Reformation, and I'm telling you, that's 80, 90% of all worldly encyclopedias and dictionaries. You know they're lying or don't know the truth, and they're just clumping Baptists with Protestants. Baptist did not start with the Catholics, and Baptist didn't start with the Protestants. Baptist started with John the Baptist. This is not complicated, okay? And all you have to do is read your Bible. Here it is. And this is the first time the word Baptist is mentioned in the Bible, Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 1. Last point, I believe, if I can remember off the top of my head, the last point is this. Baptists were started by John the Baptist. I have another point to go, but so we have our name from John the Baptist, who baptized people. And he's called John the Baptist. His last name is Baptist because in one or two places in the Bible, if we have time today, probably not, but John is called John Baptist without the. So his name, first and second name, a lot of times, a person's last name was the occupation or the area that they're from or the region or the country that they're from or some characteristic about them. Like Miller, somebody who mills. A smith is somebody who smiths weapons or farming utensils, okay? And we don't realize that today, but usually last names mean something. I can't for the life of me ever figure out what Kalitas means. I'm telling you, I have searched it and searched. There's no definition or meaning that I have found for the word Kalitas, to be honest with you, okay? But usually, 90% of the time, 95, I mean, I'm sure there is a name. There's a reason for it. I'm just saying, most last names are having to do with something that's connected to that family, the individual, the forefather. In this case, we're Baptists. because we've decided to follow John the Baptist, who followed Jesus. And if that's not good enough, Jesus Christ himself went to John the Baptist to get baptized. He didn't go to John the Presbyterian or John the Methodist or John the Catholic or John the Orthodox. Everybody says, well, we have the original religion. The Orthodox always say, we're the first religion, okay? And we're the Catholics were the original religion. No, it was John the Baptist, and Jesus went to John the Baptist to get baptized. It's not complicated, all right? So as we go through these Bible verses about baptism, and by the way, let me just say this. Another point, okay? Anybody who believes in a new birth and baptizes by immersion. And you'll see the word baptism is the Greek word, even in the English word, it's being immersed. It means under the water, not sprinkling. Baptism, you know, you get Presbyterians that sprinkle and you get other people that sprinkle. No, the Bible word baptist is underneath the water. It's a dunking under. It's an immersion. There's got to be a lot of water for you to be baptized. And so as you go through these Bible verses, I want you to remember that in the back of your mind as we go through this, why Baptists are hated today. John the Baptist was hated. A lot of people got saved, a lot of people were baptized, but he was hated. And so a lot of people today hate Baptists for the one reason that they hated John the Baptist. So we're going to go through these verses. And you only get baptized, as you're going to read here, after you get saved, not before. There's nowhere in the Bible that a child ever got baptized. Nowhere. People ask me a lot of times, will you baptize my baby? And my answer is, yes, I will baptize your baby. I just need to talk to the baby. And if the baby can tell me that they've trusted Christ to be their Savior, I'll baptize the baby. I have no age limit on baptizing people. No, you can't get baptized when you're 3 months, 6 months. Maybe you have an exceptionally bright student or a child, amen? Maybe they can talk when they're 3 months old and they can tell me, I've trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior. If that 3-month-old can tell me that, I'll baptize that 3-month-old. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says any infant or baby was ever baptized, ever. It's somebody who's already of age that understands that they've trusted Jesus Christ to save their soul from hell. That's a person who gets baptized, okay? So let's go through these Bible verses, shall we? Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching. Not in the church building, huh? Not in the temple, huh? Not in the big sanctuary, as we like people like to say today. There's no sanctuary today except your heart, amen, and in heaven. This is not a sanctuary. This is an auditorium, amen. This is a building, amen, where God's people meet. This is not a sanctuary. We did not have church buildings until about maybe 500 years ago, 400 years ago, maybe 300 years ago. I don't know. The first church buildings Baptists ever had was only 300-400 years ago. You know why? Because all the other religions and denominations started having church buildings. But before that, Baptists were meeting in homes, in caves, in dungeons, in catacombs, in the wilderness, in barns, in attics, in basements. You know why? Because Baptists were being hounded by the government. And Baptists could never own a building because it would be razed to the ground or confiscated by the government. Well, you and I just happen to live in a freer society in America that we've become accustomed to having our own. I'm not against having a building. I'm just saying the Baptist heritage has always been preaching outdoors, outside. Now, if somebody allows us inside a building, like Paul went into the synagogues and Paul went into the temples to preach, they allowed him to, so he did. But you'll see they went from house to house preaching the gospel. They were meeting in people's homes. That's why, by the way, the Amish still meet in Amish homes. The Mennonites meet in tents. And that's biblical, to be honest with you. And so there's nothing wrong with that. Barns, basements, attics, wilderness, that's where they were preaching, amen? And so he was preaching in the wilderness. And it's amazing. People went to hear him preach. Multitudes. Look, all right, now it's all right. 10:20 in the morning right now, okay? 30 minutes ago, I passed Family Dollar on, what's that road up there called? What? Northern Drive. There were 10 people outside waiting in line. I don't know what time they opened. They must open 10 o'clock. Literally, now it's drizzling outside or it's about to rain. There's 10 people outside in the parking lot lined up at the front door to get to Family Dollar this morning. We have a church building and people don't even want to come to church. So people are going, think about this. People are going to shop this, right? Look, you know what I'm talking about, Black Friday, and people line the doors and the hallways and the outside. They camp outside just to buy something and save some money. But people can't do that in the wilderness for God. Outside, well, it's going to rain, Pastor. It's going to snow, Pastor. It's going to be cold outside, Pastor. It's going to be wind. You don't say that when you go to a football game. You don't say that when you go to a baseball game. It could rain the whole game through, but you're going to sit there with an umbrella and a tarp over your body. You know, you're going to watch the game for 3.5 hours because, you know, it's the World Series or it's the finals, whatever it is. These people love God. They went into the wilderness to hear the preaching, amen. They went to the wilderness to hear Jesus Christ and John the Baptist. Mark 1:9 says the same thing. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. In Matthew chapter number 14:8, the Bible says, let's turn to Matthew 14. You'll see how much he was hated here. Matthew chapter 14. Jesus said, woe unto you if all men speak well of you. That's what he said. Matthew chapter number 14. And verse number 1, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. I mean, that's a big request. You can have anything you want, up to half the kingdom. You know what she wanted? Her mom hated John the Baptist because of his preaching. And she, verse number 8, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist. You see that? John Baptist, not John the Baptist. That's a mistake. That's not a mistake in your King James Bible. It's John Baptist's head in a charger. The king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded to be given her. And so they hated his preaching. Take a Bible, turn to Luke, please. Luke chapter number 6. Then we'll go to Luke. Let me tell you something. If the mayor or the governor or the president is not mad at your preaching, there's something wrong with your preaching. Something wrong. If all, the whole council, city council, loves you and loves your preacher, something wrong with your preaching. Mark chapter number 6. And verse number read so much of this. Jesus speaking in chapter number 6, starting verse number 11. Whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against him. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Do you read that? It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than Troy, New York, or Albany, New York. That's what it says. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Just like we read in Matthew. Others said that it is Elias. And others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded, he is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. You know, there's people that they can't sleep today. They can't sleep tonight because they know there's a hellfire and damnation Baptist preacher in their town that bothers them, amen? You know why? Their conscience bothers them. I mean, we ought to have liberty. Let everybody do whatever they want, say whatever they want, as long as you don't harm anybody. Let me tell you something. You ought not to be so upset of what the sodomites and the perverts are doing in America. You ought to be more concerned with what God is doing through you. I'm sad for my country, too. It bothers me. But I'm not going to let it ruin my life and ruin my thinking and ruin my behavior because the wicked are living like wicked. I want to try to focus my attention and my life on the Word of God and try to win souls and try to preach the truth. So many times, you know, George Bush, the senior one, he said, I remember watching one of his speeches, the State of the Union speech, and at that time, if you can believe it, he was still criticizing the Democrats for not wanting tax cuts. And he said, you Democrats are like the Puritans that could not go to sleep because they thought someone somewhere was having a good time. You know, and too many times it bothers people that somebody else is doing something that may not be right. Why don't you focus your life on trying to win them? Amen. I know there's people that can't stand my preaching. They hate my preaching. Let that do the work instead of you getting all riled up. Amen. So too many times we're just, why are they like this, Pastor? Because they're lost. They're heathen. They're on the way to hell. They hate God. What else do you want me to tell you? Read your Bible. It should not be a shock to you. That's how people are going to live. But you and I ought to love God and preach it whether we get our heads cut off. Amen. By the way, that's why they hated the Apostle Paul. He got his head cut off. Amen. Paul wasn't he wasn't in with Caesar. He wasn't in with the city council and the governor. They crucified Jesus. For what reason? The same reason. They hate truth. This should not be a shock. Let's go now to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 7. Verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? In other words, you couldn't shake John the Baptist. Couldn't shake him. Couldn't shake Jeremiah. Couldn't shake Daniel. Couldn't shake the Apostle Paul. And that's what people hate. They want to intimidate you. They want to rattle you. They want to shake your cage, you know, rattle your cage. And they want to get you all upset and flustered. Well, you know what? If you love God, nothing's going to bother you. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. I mean, if you love the Word of God and you love Jesus Christ and you're concerned about souls, all you're concerned about and consumed with is pleasing God. As long as you please God, it doesn't... I mean, it might hurt you because you might be sad over it, but in the long run, if you please God and love God, it will really not matter who likes you, who doesn't like you on Facebook. How come you didn't like me? How come you didn't friend me? Why did you defriend me? You know, everybody's caught up with vanity today, man. I like people who have been kicked off of Facebook. That says something to me. Amen. I can't understand why a church hasn't been kicked off yet. I'm trying. Believe me, I'm trying. But look, let's read this. Verse 25. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? That's what we're wearing today, aren't we? Suit, tie, silk, you know. Huh? We're too, you know what? We're too sissified. We're too pacified. We're too smooth today. You know. What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Jesus speaking here. He says, yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Another place the Bible says John the Baptist did no miracle, by the way. No miracle. Never spoke in tongues. Never healed anybody. All he did, you know what he did? He preached. That's all he did. Verse number 27. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women. It's interesting. Why is he putting that in the Bible? I thought everybody's born of women. Well, because Jesus knew what was going to happen in 2020, 2025, 2030 with these bots and machines and half man, half human, half conglomeration or whatever it is. Jesus knew what was going to come down the pike. So he puts in here, he says, among those that are born of women, there is the, and by the way, queers and sodomites and perverts are going to have babies, like Jeremiah said. They're going to have the uterus implanted, and they're going to give birth through cesarean section, you know. You would think this was unbelievable or science fiction 20, 30 years ago, but God's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper, ladies and gentlemen, okay? So he says, Jesus says, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers, what a shock, rejected the counsel of God against themselves being not baptized of him. Show me one place in the Bible where a baby was sprinkled with water. And they say holy water. If you think Troy water is holy, you got a problem. If you think Hoosick Falls water is holy water, you got a problem. I don't care how much you purify that thing. You can have a reverse osmosis all you want, man. You can boil that thing all you want. But this is holy water, and you dip your fingers and you sprinkle. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. But the Pharisees, the religious leaders, hated him. They hated his preaching, and isn't it a shock that the lawyers hated it also? Huh? How many lawyers do you know that are saved? I can tell you, lawyer after lawyer, name after name, lawyers and judges that are as arrogant as you can possibly be. And now there are some that are still humble, I'll be honest with you. And I know there are some that still believe in God. I know that. But the vast majority of them, like the Pharisees, are cold hearts, man. They're arrogant. They hate the preaching of the Word of God. Take your Bible, please, turn to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. The Gospel of John, chapter number 3. Verse 23. And John also, or verse number 22, it says that Jesus was baptizing, even though the Bible says his disciples baptized, okay? But it counted towards Jesus baptizing disciples later on. But in verse 23, and John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salem. Watch this. Because there was much water there. That's a very interesting statement. Why was he baptizing there? Why did Jesus get baptized in the River Jordan? Well, because there was much water there. You can't baptize with a glass of water or a cup. I remember Burl Howes preaching a sermon, and obviously this is back. This happened probably in the 60s or 70s, I guess. You know, you understand. You have to understand. Back in the 60s and 70s, there were some decent Methodists and Presbyterians that were preaching the gospel, and getting people saved, even though they believe in sprinkling, you know, and stuff like that. And I remember, you know, when you have preachers, we have bottles of water up here. You know, when I preach or when all the preachers come, we give them water and stuff like that. And they had a glass of water up here for Brother Hiles, and while he was preaching, he was drinking it. And every time he took a sip, like the deacons on the front row, whoever they were, just looking at him like they were gasping because he didn't realize he was drinking their baptismal water. You know how stupid that is? Of course, where's that in the Bible? You can't baptize somebody with a glass of water or a cup of water. You need much water because baptism means immersion, to be dipped under, to go under. So here he is. John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salem because there was much water there and they came and were baptized. Well, it's not complicated, ladies and gentlemen. Take your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter number 8. You know the story here of Philip and the eunuch? He wasn't born that way. Maybe he was. Yep. It's okay. It's amazing how stupid we become, man. I tell you, don't get me started now. Try to concentrate. Action number 8. And starting in verse number 27. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? Now this guy just came out of church, okay? He was just coming out of church from Jerusalem in verse number 20, let's see. We didn't read it yet, I guess. In verse number 25, he says, all right, he returned to Jerusalem. Yes, in verse 26, arise and go toward the south way, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And this guy, in verse number 27, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, the eunuch. He goes down to Jerusalem to worship, lost. He leaves Jerusalem, his worship service, from the worship team that was led by the worship leader. What a bunch of junk that is, amen? Huh? That's so anti-scriptural. He came church lost, he left church lost, right? He's reading, I mean, he's sincere in reading some portion of the Bible. And so he's reading Isaiah, and then verse 29, we read, Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. We ought to run after sinners, amen? Literally run after him. Then Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? Well, that's the Bible way. Someone else shows you from the Word of God how to be saved. Amen. Someone took a Bible and showed me I was a sinner on my way to hell to pay for my sins for all eternity. And they showed me from the Bible that I need to be born again. I need to be saved. Right? But the Pharisees and the lawyers reject the counsel of God. And they hate the Word of God because it convicts them of their sin. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So he said, yeah, please, come on up. Show me. Let me find out what you got to say from the Bible. Verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. And he reads Isaiah 53 of all places. And then he says, you come down to verse number 36. And as they were on their way, well, verse 35, Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus from Isaiah 53, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? In other words, what's stopping me from being baptized? Well, you haven't gone to 6 weeks of classes yet. We haven't had you in our discipleship course yet. Oh, where's that in the Bible? Absolutely nowhere.
Amen.
That's man-made, concocted, religious hurdles. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you ought to change your life to get baptized. You ought to live right to make sure that you're saved in order to get. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that.
Amen.
The man asks, what stops me? What hinders me to get baptized? Well, here's what Philip said. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Well, are you saved? That's all it takes for you to get baptized.
Amen.
Have you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell? If you can answer yes to that question, that's all it needs for a person to get baptized, for a person to be baptized. That's it. Not if you're living right, not if you're doing right. You can be drunk and get baptized. You can be high and get baptized. You can be a thief and get baptized. I'm just telling you. You can walk out of jail, walk out of prison, walk out of the insane asylum and get baptized. Amen. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, he just showed him what Isaiah 53 says. He preached Jesus unto him. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. That's what the Bible says. Now, look, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not against people who baptize in troughs, you know, in bathtubs. I've never done that. Because the Bible says here they both went into the water. John baptized because there was much water there. Jesus was baptized in Jordan because there's much water there. I've never baptized anybody unless I've personally gotten the water. I've gotten into creeks. I've gotten into swimming pools. I've gotten into baptistries. But that tells you an indication of there's got to be much water there for somebody to be baptized so they can go under the water, ladies and gentlemen. But look at the next verses here. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now watch this. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, they get baptized, but how come they're not in church anymore? The same thing was happening in the Bible 2,000 years ago. He got baptized, he didn't see him anymore. Does that mean he wasn't saved? Does that mean he wasn't scripturally baptized? Well, if they're really saved, where are they all? The same way the 9 lepers didn't come back to thank Jesus for cleansing them.
Amen.
Only 1 out of 10 came back. And it was a Samaritan, by the way.
Amen.
A stranger. So where are the 9? Well, they're somewhere. I don't know where they're at, but they're somewhere. If they're really saved, they would be there. No. If Jesus only got 9 out of 10, 1 out of 10 to come back and thank him for it, you know, We're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. If I get 1 out of 10 coming back, I'll be thrilled. If I get 1 out of 20 coming back, I'll be happy. I can't believe all you folks show up, amen? People say, well, where's so-and-so? I have no idea. Where is everybody? I have no idea. They're somewhere.
Amen.
It's a miracle that anybody shows up the second or third or fourth time, amen? Let's go to Hebrews. I want to read that one verse. No, it's Romans. I'm sorry. I take that back. Romans chapter number 6. Then we'll go back to Acts. Romans chapter number 6. There are evangelical churches, Bible churches, community churches who baptize by immersion.
Amen.
And that's right. But they're afraid to put the word Baptist on the sign because they know the connotation that it has in our society today. Oh, I don't want to be linked or associated with Baptists because, you know, they're just too far out there, man. They're just too out in the fringe over there. So what they've done is they're really being Baptist in the sense that they're baptizing by immersion after salvation, but they're sort of getting 1 foot away from the Baptist because they don't want anybody to think bad of them. Well, if you're going to be a Baptist, put on the sign. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. Why are you ashamed? Romans chapter number 6. And verse number 1. Romans chapter number 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were... Now, this is a spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost when we got saved, okay? You have to understand that. But it's a picture. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's why it's called the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When I baptize somebody, right? I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And what I usually say is buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That's what I usually say because it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sprinkling is not a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A sprinkling is a picture of somebody spitting. Sprinkling, that's all it is. Okay? Look at verse number 4. This ought to be like a clincher for it. Therefore, we are what?
Buried.
Yeah. When you got saved, you got buried by the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost. You were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Okay? So he says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. You can't bury somebody by sprinkling somebody. You bury somebody in water that's deep enough where the whole body can be buried. You don't need much water to baptize somebody. I mean, you know, I don't know, 10 inches, 12 inches, 24 inches. Well, today's society, maybe you need about 6-7 foot. Somebody laughed. Someone laughed. Turn to Acts. Some of you are not laughing. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Baptism only comes after salvation, not before. Your infant baptism did not count. I was sprinkled as a baby. I don't know how old I was, 3, 6, 9 months old. Have no idea. It doesn't count, ladies and gentlemen. Well, so I've already been baptized. Well, did you get baptized after or before? Because Bible baptism is only after salvation. Amen. The one you had when you were sprinkled as a baby does not count. Because you have to receive Jesus Christ to be your Savior first, as we're about to read. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Amen. Well, did you receive the word of God? Were you glad you got saved? Well, those are the ones that get baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine baptizing people, 3,000 people in one day? That's a pretty crash course of discipleship, don't you think? That's cramming 8 weeks for every individual. 4 weeks. That's all right. Let's just say 4 weeks. 4 weeks crammed into what? 1 hour? 30 minutes? How do you do that? No. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Are you saved? Did you ask Jesus Christ to save your soul? That's all it says in the Bible. So yeah, but we don't want to take any chances. We don't want to, you know, baptize anybody who's not really saved. Well, how can you know if somebody's not really saved? If they answer that they are saved, how will you know if they're not really saved? Can you see the heart? Can you see my heart? I don't know if you've been living right this week. You don't know if I've been living right this week. I don't know how much Bible you've read. You don't know how much Bible I've read. I don't know how much time you spent on your knees praying this week, and you don't know how much time I spent on my knees praying this week. You have no idea, and I have no idea. What am I supposed to do? If somebody lies to me, am I supposed to slap in the face and say, don't you ever do that again to me? Well, all we can do is take people at their word. That's all I can do. You can come to church for 5 or 10 years and still be lying to me. How do I know? You can put on a show, a veneer, a facade. And by the way, people do that. In every single denomination, man, you better believe it. That's why this kind of preaching chases those people out most times. This kind of preaching is convicting to those people. They don't want to hear it week after week, so they go find some other lukewarm fellowship where nobody's preaching. There's no John the Baptist. There's no Apostle Paul. Amen. There's no Jeremiah. Well, here, they that gladly received his word were baptized. 3,000 people in one day. And those are the people that were added to the church. People that are saved and baptized. If you're not baptized after you're saved, you're not part of the local individual church, ladies and gentlemen. They were added to the church after they were saved and baptized. And verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily, every day, with one accord in the temple, every day.
Amen.
Every day. And breaking bread from house to house, they'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How does God add to the church? People getting saved and baptized. Well, how do they do that on just Sundays then? Well, they didn't have church just on Sundays. They had church Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They had the collection on Sunday on the first day of the week, the Bible says. But the Bible says they had church every single day. Some people had to work on Sunday. Some people were fishermen. Some people were smiths. And some people, you know, they had businesses. And so they couldn't make it on Sunday. Or they can't make it on Monday. Or they couldn't make it on Tuesday. But they came to church when they were able to. But they went soul winning every single day. They had people say, listen to me good, every single day. They had people baptized every single day. I remember probably one of my favorite memories of pastor school years going by when Brother Howes was at pastor school alive. I remember one year, I can't remember what year it was. The whole week, he would have his staff, college students, people in his church. They took vacation time. All they did was go soul winning during the week while 5,000-7,000 pastors and Sunday school teachers and church leaders and elders and whoever was, deacons, whoever came to the church, to the pastor school there. We sat there the whole week from Monday to Friday at that time. It used to be Fridays. And every hour or two, or even sometimes every 20 minutes, it would be different. Somebody in the middle of this, whatever sermon it was, whatever Bible study it was, whatever teaching lesson it was, the voice would come up from the baptistry. Brother Howes, we have another one. He would stop right in the middle of his Bible study, sit down, and they baptized somebody right there. Monday. I mean, they had like about 10, 20, 30 people every single day being baptized on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. That's a New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. We're backslidden. We just have to admit it. We struggle just to make one time a week. Pastor, I can't come tonight. I can't come Wednesday night, Pastor. I have too much to do. You know, I'm on Twitter all the time. I can't leave Facebook. I have a birthday party, and I have a camp I have to go to, and I have the mountains I need to go to. I have a lake I need to go to. I need to go to the beach. I'm too busy, Pastor. They had church every single day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They had people saved every single day of the week. They had people baptized every single day of the week. We just need to admit that we're not right with God, and we need to get right with God. And thank God for what we're doing. Thank God for the people who show up, and thank God for the folks that come, and thank God for the folks that go sold, and thank God for the folks that sacrifice. But if you compare us to the New Testament church, that's why there's no revival in America, ladies and gentlemen. We're too full of ourselves. Aren't you glad I came to the Bible study this morning? Let's all stand this morning, shall we? Dear God, thank you again for loving us, for being a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for our Baptist heritage. Thank you for John the Baptist, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us these truths from the Word of God. Help us to live accordingly. And Lord, help us to love you more than anyone else. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.